podcast is just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are, and I'm Wesley Sykes, and through the other side of the ether is the Clark Kellogg to my Dickie V. It's Mr. Nicholas J. Eskfryer, movie bracketologist for hire.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to today, so it's a good thing that we're both so good at when it comes to making brackets, because we do it all the time.
Yeah, and happy new year, happy back, happy to be back here, happy back.
Yes, happy new year indeed. It's been a minute.
I apologize. That's the change my mind equivalent there. Happy back. Yeah, so a little bit of a long delay. We were just kind of discussing that. Like, geez, how long have we actually, since we last recorded, how long has it been?
Yeah.
Because we pre-recorded, what was that last episode there that we did?
The 18th, the unforgettable episode 249.
Polar Express.
Oh, was that it?
Was that it? I think that might have been it there.
Oh, no, it was our retcon.
Oh, that's right, our retcon. Of course, how could we forget our retcons there? You're absolutely right. So then we had a re-release of a Muppet Christmas Carol on Christmas Day, so we hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. And now we're here, a full year later almost, right? So this week we'll be holding our 2024 selection show. Where we will be building out our episode list for the year with all the best shows and movies 2024 has to offer. But before that, Nick, it's New Year's Day. What are your New Year's resolutions? This is a very, very stock intro question here, but fitting.
It is. But, you know, in the past that we've kind of run into things where I've told you, like, I don't do New Year's resolutions. And in the past, by and large, yeah, it's all coming back now. Yeah. I kind of get like anti.
I know Mac was that too. I couldn't remember if you were that on that side of the fence as well.
Yeah. And generally speaking, I have been that way, but I've taken on a few things here and there since I met my lovely wife. She's kind of helped me wake up on that regard. And the one big one for me right now that I'm excited that I've been like waiting to do after the holidays, because obviously had the wedding, had a bunch of other weddings, then had the holidays, is I'm going to learn Portuguese. And I studied in high school. My mom speaks it fluently. I mean, she's from the Azores. Mm-hmm. But I learned it in high school and studied it in college. But I never really I just did good enough to get good grades. And
can you read it?
Somewhat, but what I'm best at is eavesdropping. Like I can, understanding what's being said to me either way. Like I can piece stuff together.
Mm-hmm,
But like I've always been very self-conscious about how I spoke it, and I should be a lot better about what I understand. So
you got to work on the lisp.
I'm working on all of it. I'm very excited to for that undertaking. I got some other things, but that's like the number one.
So how are you learning this? Are you going through a Rosetta Stone or like Babel or something like that?
We're still trying to figure out. I think after you and I are done here, we're going to go back and revisit it, the missus and I, about how we want to approach this, because it's going to be a joint venture, which I'm very excited to have.
So she's also doing Portuguese. She's not doing another language.
Right. Which nice. I mean, she learned Spanish like most people previously. Mm-hmm. So these are like cousins, but it'll be a different experience for both of us. But
sure. Romance language. Yeah.
Yeah. But the best one that I've seen so far is called Pimsleur, Sleur. So I think that's it, but I'm not. I know there's like Babel and all these other ones too. And anybody wants
it almost
to,
sounds like a slur.
Yeah, exactly.
Slur? Yeah.
Yeah. So anybody who wants to, if any of them want to advertise on the show, then I'll just use them instead. But,
there we go. Okay. Yeah. We are an open solicitation podcast here. So absolutely.
Yeah.
That's nice. I like that.
Thank you.
So I for some reason, I was really good in Spanish all throughout high school, pretty good in college, where I could read it, I could conjugate, I can write it pretty well. And, you know, translate everything like kind of decently, like you said, kind of piece things together to understand what was being said. But speaking it was such a problem for me. This might not come as a shocker to you, but I can't roll my R's very well at all, actually. And so I just have this like vivid memory of my Spanish teacher saying, "You speak too white." And I'm like, what am I supposed to do about that? No, that can't do that. So,
yes.
But yeah, so that,
what about you, though?
New Year's resolutions, it's kind of, they're kind of broad, but you know, it's to be more present, to be more diligent, you know, have a little bit more patience, you know, things like that. But just minor things to work on, to be mindful of, but not necessarily like a targeted goal, more or less.
Sure. Yeah, no, but those are like to me,
the fitness ones goals too, like just like figuring out, like I think I mentioned this to you before, but I haven't been able to figure out a good time to go like steady time to go work out. You know, prior to the baby, it was always late in the evening, last thing I do at the end of the day to kind of unwind and, you know, relieve stress from the work day and everything. But now where the wife works at night, I'm on baby daddy duty, so now it's like it's I've known this for a while. It has to be in the morning. I just got to flip my schedule around a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. It's not, I can't, it's
being more dedicated to that.
It's very clear. Like how that would be a big challenge. Like there's so much else going on. I think that's an easy thing to fall by the wayside.
And I got back in the gym, you know, this week here, this past week, and like, my whole body is sore. And I just did like basic introductory push pull leg type stuff. Just to kind of like break in. To everything, nothing, you know, any of my gains that I had are completely gone. True. It was a harsh, rude awakening for me.
It's tough. Yeah. It's freaking tough. That's for damn sure. It's funny. You were back in. I think last week was the one week where I was like, I only did one. I mean, I obviously had stuff go on, but like there's the holiday. It's just tough this time.
You get busy. Yeah, you get busy. Yeah, and the reason why I was just so gung-ho about it, because I've been like inactive for the last like 7 months or so. So I'm like, all right, I gotta do something here. Other than like going for walks with a baby strapped on me, which is kind of like a rucking vest, you know, that gets kind of your cardio boosted there. That's got a little benefit there. But yeah, not the exact same thing.
Sure.
Speaking of not the exact same thing, we're having a truncated trending now, just because, like we mentioned, there's been so much that's happened in the time that we've been gone. A lot of this feels like old hat. But that said,
damn, son, where'd you find this?
Found this in a courtroom near you. This was Jonathan Majors' trial finally came to rest. I think he was found guilty on maybe half of the charges that were brought against him. But nevertheless, he was let go of his duties as Kang in the MCU now, which creates a little bit of a vacuum. And we discussed this a little bit at the end of season two of Loki, how they kind of left that open ended where they could take that in a direction where like maybe Kang really was defeated by Loki. And now Loki sits upon the throne at the end of time there. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they could say he could come back in some sort of fashion, kind of whatever the case is. There's other variants that could kind of come in there and still carry on the name. It's still kind of to be determined what they're going to do with the character. But needless to say, it won't be Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, and I think right, obviously there's been a ton of speculation about what is Disney or Marvel gonna do, you know, given the development, other than moving on from Jonathan Majors. Like, do you just completely move on from Kang? And it seems like that's gonna be the short term plan, and it makes the most sense. Like, they're not gonna recast Kang at some point along the way, but I think unlike with Rhodey, where they just did it and it was kind of, you know, it was
seamless.
Yeah, people just kind of moved on with it because he was a supporting character. Kang was at the center of everything. I would think now they're going to make a harsh pivot. I mean, we're already kind of seeing it with some of this, with the Daredevil talk and everything. Like, they're very much out in front and pushing that, and people seem hyped about Echo, which we'll get to later. But they, you know, put some focus there. You know, pivot to, you know, maybe move up things with Doom or X-Men and whatnot, because you probably can in a few different ways. And then maybe later on down the line, you recast Kang and bring him back in, and people are still going to know, but it'll be less of a thing, I think, at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I read this, maybe I got on the internet somehow, but I think they took down the Kang Dynasty subtitle for Avengers 5. So I think it's just called Avengers 5 right now. Whatever they do, maybe this is Secret Wars Part 1, and they just extend that movie out into two parts now. So, you know, there's a couple of different options. I guess the silver lining, the bright side for the MCU is that they have so much in their bag of tricks where they can kind of pull from and replace things with. And we all know they like to do, kind of morphing of different characters with different storylines to kind of make them fit within the MCU. That's always a possibility as well, but it's too bad because it was very clear that they built everything up around Jonathan Majors, and he's such a presence on the screen. I think anyone who's seen him in movies, whether it's Creed or whatever, Lovecraft Country, I think that's kind of maybe where he got his first break. That's where I first kind of recognized him. I think it was an HBO show.
Yeah, no, that rings a bell. I never watched it, but I think you're right. But yeah,
and I confused the actors between him and the guy who played Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen series too. I confused those two guys. Okay. But yeah, I think it's Lovecraft Country, and then but whatever Creed 3, this as Kang and whatever iteration of Kang, he's always been the best parts in the MCU that he's been in. So I think that's unfortunate to see him go because he is a big presence on the screen there.
Yeah, there's no doubting the work that he was able to put forth on the screen. It's a disappointment that this stuff happened off the field. But like you said, there's no question that they'll be able to pivot out of this because there's just so many options. And now that's been dealt with. And now it's like, okay, well, is Fantastic Four going to get moved up in some capacity or Doom? And then same thing goes for X-Men. Obviously, we're getting Deadpool later on in the year. So again, like there's no shortage of options for the MCU.
And you might be more privy to this than I am, but I thought Kang was an intriguing character, but in the Rogues gallery of MCU villains, he's not really that high up there. Is that fair?
He's like impactful, but he's definitely important. But I mean, to have him be the next guy after Thanos, I mean, I would put like some X-Men people ahead of that, and I would put. You know, you got Galactus too, who's another guy you can throw in the mix, and then obviously
certainly Doctor Doom, right?
That's the guy who makes the most sense after Thanos to me.
And some of the rumors around the X-Men stuff is that they're going to be involving Mr. Sinister, who I think is a very intriguing villain. I would love to see that. Magneto, of course, bringing him back in some way. Yeah. I think that could also be very, very good too. So as good of an acting job as Jonathan Majors did with Kang, the character itself isn't really that integrated into the MCU, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to abandon Kang completely. They could. They might. They might just say, you know, we're just not going to do it. I think that if you're worried about the larger story, that would be an odd move, but you can absolutely pivot away from it for now. I don't know how that is. But there's
a bunch of things where like I feel like there's a bunch of loose ends, particularly in Phase 4 that haven't been answered or tied up and stuff. And who knows if they will get answered, right? So I think what comes to mind to me is the Miss Marvel series where they end it with the X-Men spoiler that she's a mutant and they play the X-Men music in the background, but none of that's talked about since. You know?
Right.
So it's like, all right, what's going on there? But
the biggest thing for them going right now is the hype that's surrounding Echo. I mean, again, with D'Onofrio, and then you have D'Onofrio back in the mix, and there's no question how he plays Kingpin. And Kingpin doesn't carry as much weight in terms of like impact on the greater MCU. But at the same time, when you talk about just like pound for pound villain, and I pardon all the weight puns.
I love it. You know, I'm here for it.
He is as good as it gets too. Like he's absolutely tough. He's tough. So, but I don't want to jump ahead on things.
No, we'll get to that briefly. Let's, in the meantime, shift gears to the comic book minute and say goodbye to Twitter or X.
Ah, a superb choice.
So this week in the conference, it is a light week because of the holiday and just delivery schedule and things like that. But a couple things that are noteworthy from DC Poison Ivy issue 18. That's a title I've talked about quite a bit. It continues to be outstanding. And then from Marvel, a couple big issues. We got Fall of the House of X issue 1. So there's been a lot going on in Krakoa. Again, when you talk about like different shit that you can pull when you bring in the X-Men, I mean, that's a whole nother. I don't know if we'll ever get there in the MCU, but there's a ton of shit going on there now. And then we also got Vengeance of the Moon Knight, where Moon Knight has died. This is the start of a new story from Jed McKay, who's been writing the character for the last 30 issues. So very exciting stuff over there. As for TLDR this week, we're going to be doing the January solicited. I don't know why I wrote down December in my notes, but either way, That's going to be coming out this week. And yeah, that'll be coming out the day after Change My Mind drops.
I love it. Now, Krakoa, they explored that in what, Dark Phoenix? Dark Phoenix movie with like the updated one?
Did they mention? No, Krakoa is that, like new.
Is that the island that they get sent to that's like led by Magneto and it's like a free mutant society?
Just Genosha.
Okay.
Yeah, Genosha. Either way, but like that's not this one. This one is like a whole new thing and improvement. But that like what you're talking about is the one that's been known for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah. This is a totally different ball of wax. Definitely like I think from like a X-Men perspective, like within their actual world, there was a lot more. They accomplished a lot more there, but things also went sideways really like. Really poorly at the end. Like it's been very well done. It's just like it's been very like the whole experience has been a lot.
Okay. All right there. Well, thank you for the comic book minute and check out TLDR's January solicit there. So when does that hit the airwaves?
That comes out the day after Change My Mind's audio version comes out. So it's right there. Boom. You listen to Change My Mind and the next day you can listen to TLDR.
I love that. Beautiful, beautiful stuff here. All right. We'll shift gears. Are you ready for our main topic?
Yes, sir.
Tommy, are you ready for our main topic?
All right, now let's go get them.
Okay, let's get going here for our 2024 selection show. All right, so this is going to be movies and TVs. We'll work our way through January down through the month of December here. And we, you know, this is... Could be changed. You know, we release dates get changed all the time here, but tentatively speaking, this will be our episode guide or episode sheet for the year here. So we're going to have obviously some things mixed in as well, but let's see if we can get some tentpole movie reviews. What did we see last year? Like 20 movies, 30 movies, somewhere in that range.
It was a good, I don't think it was 30, maybe 20.
Yeah, I think we're in the 20s. Yeah, I would feel safe saying that there. So, hopefully we keep on with that streak here. I do like going to the weekend releases here and talking about it early with the people. So hopefully we keep that going. That's a good resolution for 2024. Ooh, and yeah. I should mention, Nick, as always, my New Year's resolution is to be nicer to you. So I think that's just something that's just carrying over year over year. I think we've done a good job.
I was going to say, if you get any nicer, I'm going to start like asking questions. Like I'm going to be concerned for your.
I might be asking for something, you know?
Yeah.
Try to butter you up for a little cash.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. It's because you've been ever since you did it. Ever since you've done that, you've been definitely nicer. But I never thought you were mean either. So I don't know.
Well, that was a good save. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that here. moving right into January. So there's not a lot of release dates here. So I thought my first note here is maybe this month we could review some of the things that have come out in the last few weeks ago, weeks or so in the holiday season, a la What If Season 2, The Rebel Moon, or Aquaman 2. Do any of these pique your interest?
I think What If Season 2 is something we should touch upon. I know Aquaman was something we had kind of floated the idea of doing, but just, you know, I feel like we kind of, the ship has kind of sailed on that for us, looking at where on the calendar.
Okay, here, let me see if I can pull up the calendar real quick.
I actually got it right now. So we got, so you go ahead and keep looking. So we're obviously we're kicking things off with the selection show. Then the 8th is our next one. We don't really have anything until that. We do have Echo. That's going to be coming out shortly after that. It's coming out January 10th, which is, I believe, based on our calendar, is going to be a Wednesday. So I would think it would make sense to go What If Season 2, then we go into Echo right after that because all the episodes drop at once.
Okay. All right. I'll lock it in here. So for 1/8 recording episode, we're going to do What If Season 2 Exit Survey. And then on the 15th, we'll do Rebel Moon. And maybe that buys us some time to get the Snyder Cut. Did I hear that right?
Well, no. I was saying we do maybe. Okay. So looking at the dates and everything, I would rather prioritize Echo because Echo's out on January 10th.
And it all comes out at the same time. Gotcha.
Yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
In the course of things. But yeah. And then maybe we'll have some more time on Rebel Moon.
Okay. I like that. So right now, Rebel Moon Part 1. We got that in there. So for the first 3 weeks of January after today's episode, of course, because it's actually 5 weeks in January for our calendar. So we got our episode recording right now. What If Season 2 on the 8th, Echo Exit Survey on the 15th, and Rebel Moon Part 1. And what is it's interesting because like Echo, they've really been promoting this hard and the trailers have looked good. They've kind of promised this grittier street version, although it's a character that, you know, we're not extremely familiar with.
Right.
But there seems to be a lot of hype around that. I think you mentioned this a little bit earlier about Vincent D'Onofrio and Kingpin and everyone being kind of doing their part to really promote this movie or series, I should say. It's interesting. It's not something that's really moving the needle for me, but it's done enough job to get me interested to at least check it out, if that makes sense.
If my thing is like D'Onofrio was so passionate about his role in the Netflix stuff. And I know like we've talked about it before, you weren't a huge fan of what we got in Marvel Netflix, but at the same time, like it's also, I do think that we talk about this all the time, how you, the connective tissue is like the biggest thing for you. And we never really got that in those shows. I do wonder, I mean, we'll never know, but if we had gotten that in those shows, I would think that you would have liked some of that stuff a bit more. Also, things probably would have been handled a bit differently, too. But the tone and whatnot, I think you would have appreciated
more. No, absolutely. I like the grittiness. I like Charlie Cox. I liked Vincent D'Onofrio. There's a lot of things I liked about it. My main gripe, I think I've been pretty vocal about this, is about the length in episode and in runtime.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so I think that's where it loses me a little bit. But on the flip side, I think that's where Echo gains a little bit of points for me. It all comes out at once. What we're seeing in the MCU right now kind of play around with different release things, with What If Season 2 getting released an episode at a time, like right in that Christmas break, and then Echo doing a full season drop. I think that's only five episodes in here. And I got a rundown, a synopsis here that I put together. So Echo revisits Maya Lopez, whose ruthless behavior in New York City catches up with her in her hometown. She must face her past, reconnect with her Native American roots, and embrace the meeting of family and community if she ever hopes to move forward.
Yeah.
It's a pretty solid synopsis.
Solid synopsis. And the thing too here, this is a character who most people aren't familiar with at all. Like, you may know her by name, but mostly that's going to be the case. So they have room to have this character go and fit the larger premise of what's going on at the street level, and also like pay respect to the character and what the character represents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely there. So yeah, so I'm good with that. And real quick before we move forward, just on Rebel Moon, we were talking kind of before we hit the airwaves here, just about the negative attention around it and the confusion between the Snyder Cut and people trying to read into, you know, what motivated the Snyder Cut versus the PG-13 release. And is it ego driven on Snyder's end? Is it, trying to get maximize dollars and watch time and streaming minutes and all that stuff on Netflix's part? You know, is it something for young adults to be able to see something that's for a wider audience and then something a little bit more violent and R-rated for the adults? You know, whatever it is, it's kind of tired at this point. I haven't wanted to see I haven't been too eager to watch this Rebel Moon cut because I've been waiting for the Snyder Cut, which is supposed to come out, I don't know, between now and part two, which is supposed to come out in like mid-April. So I hopefully it buys us some time.
I don't understand any of this. Like the thing is, like, I've been interested in watching this since we started seeing trailers. I don't know if I'd heard about it before that, but when I saw the trailers, like, oh, this looks like it could be really cool. And Snyder's able to do his own thing. Okay, fine, whatever. It doesn't, like, I know, like, the whole, everything that happened with like the Justice League Snyder stuff, like, we both enjoyed that version of it. It was very well done. At the same time, it's like, close to a 4-hour thing?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't understand, like, it's film, like, that's never been the norm, and this is what you're going to do every time. And then we get here and you have your own thing in Netflix, and I can't help but think this is some level of a stunt, which is annoying.
Yeah, it could be.
And this is also like, this is a story that's part one and part two. And then you have like the third movie, which, you know, is that technically a sequel or whatever, but it just doesn't make, it makes zero sense to me how this kind of shit is happening. So I'm still interested in watching it. I think I'll do both. But it's just, I still can't help but look at this and think like, what the fuck are we doing?
And, yeah, and this feels like a lack of control somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Like you need, whether that's Snyder or Netflix or whoever's like, you know, ultimately responsible for it. It feels like we just need to tighten it up a little bit. Just tighten it up.
I can't help but like, it's hard to know because like in one hand I could see like a company thinking, oh, this is a good way to draw attention and get real interest. Look at what it did with Justice League when it wasn't planned. If we plan it out now, I'm not saying that Netflix did it, but that's, I don't think it's out of a company's like, it's out of their, outside of conversations that they'd have. But also I can't help but wonder, did like Snyder do this too? Like, is he trying to generate this as well? Cause it just, it doesn't make any, like, how do you not, I don't know. I just don't know how you don't carry out the vision that you want to carry out. You did it with that movie with Dave Bautista, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Easily avoidable.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're in the same boat. I tend to be a little bit more lenient, maybe forgiving of Zack Snyder. Maybe I just kind of feel bad for all like how much he gets dumped on. And maybe it's deservedly so. But I feel like I just kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt here. But it becomes increasingly harder to do that as the same things continue to happen again and again.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't like it, you know, a great example of all this, like director's cut versus theatrical cut, is Lord of the Rings, right? There's no, like, I think the only one of the six movies that Peter Jackson made that doesn't have an extended cut, I think, is the first Hobbit movie, if I'm not mistaken. And again, that's one story, but like that's all one story, The Hobbit versus Lord of the Rings, which I get it's still one story, but it's three separate books.
Right.
Real Lord of the Rings fans own both versions of it, but you never hear that chatter that we get with Zack Snyder stuff. It's never in a million years. I know it was pre social media era with the first Lord of the Rings movies, but it's still very strange to me.
No, I'm with you. Lord of the Rings is going to come back up here, but another January release. So we probably won't get to this until February.
Right.
True Detective Night Country. So season four comes out January 14 on HBO or Max. In the new season of True Detective, eight men working at a research center suddenly vanish in Alaska. Detectives Liz Danvers, which is Jodie Foster, and Evangeline Navarro, which is Kelly Reese, are hired to find them. But in order to solve the mystery, they have to unravel the town's dark history along with their own twisted past. I'm in on this. I was very happy with I was in the camp. Like, I didn't think season two was horrible, but I thought season three was a big step in the right direction. I thought that was kind of back to that season one that we liked here. And I'm not sure if that completely landed the plane as it did in season one, but season three with Stephen Dorff and Mahershala Ali, I thought that was great. We've talked about this before when we did. Was it 28 Days Later? 28. Just how the Alaska setting is very cool. It creates for a very creepy, mysterious backdrop to everything that's approaching. So it's great for a thriller.
That was 30 Days of Darkness. But 100% I agree. Like I'm, that's my thing. I'm in. Like I've been itching for more like gritty Alaska stuff. I think ever since Wolverine, The Long Night, that's a podcast, also a comic book. But ever since that, I'm just like anything that's pushing it, I need to check this out in some capacity. It's so much to the point where I think it was a Prime original Prime show where I think it's called Alaska, or like it has Alaska in the name. Mm-hmm. And I watched it. I was like, no, this is, it's set in Alaska, but this is not what I came here for.
Is it the Alaskan Gold Rush reality show? You ever see those?
No, I've never seen that. No, it's like about a girl who was like a woman who was a newspaper reporter in New York, and then something happens, and then she ends up going back to Alaska, where she's from, and like has to work at that local newspaper where I think she'd been previously. So it's kind of like one of those stories.
Gotcha.
But
gotcha.
I'm in on this 100%. I agree with you. I never watched season two because so many people told me to avoid it. But I loved
it.
One.
I don't think it's as bad as what people make it out to be. But yeah,
I may give it a chance again someday. But doing some math here, if that's coming out on January 14th. And from what I can see, it's a six episode series or season, I should say, then we could tentatively put that in for February 19th as an episode.
Oh yeah. I didn't click down on more episodes. I thought there was only five. So yeah, that I like that there. True Detective season four, February 19th. All right. So now that we're in the month of February here, the first week, this is coming out February 2nd. This is the movie Argylle. So this is directed by Matthew Vaughn, who I think was Days of Future Past, First Class, X-Men director. I think that was him. This is a pretty loaded cast here. So this is starring Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, who I'm a huge fan of.
Oh yeah.
Henry Cavill, John Cena, Dua Lipa, Bryan Cranston, Sofia Boutella.
What?
And the synopsis here is a reclusive author, Ellie Conway, writes a best-selling espionage novel about a secret agent named Argylle, who's on a mission to unravel a global spy syndicate. However, when the plots of her book start to mirror the covert actions of a real-life spy organization, the line between fiction and reality begin to blur. There's a trailer out for this. I've just watched it briefly. I've seen some things about it. It kind of feels like it has like a maybe almost like a Wes Anderson type of vibe.
Okay.
Like that, maybe like a similar color palette, and it's like kind of maybe I'm completely off on this, but it's like kind of like a Wes Anderson film meets like Knives Out, Glass Onion.
Oh, okay, interesting. By the way, for those wondering at home, because I was curious too, who Sofia Boutella is, that's the woman who's who appears to be the main character in Rebel Moon.
Oh yeah, and what she stands out to me, she seems like an actress who's like tailor-made for the Fast and the Furious series. I feel like she's just has to be in there at some point. But she's also the Blade Runner lady from the Kingsman.
Oh wow, that's her too. Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah, she's awesome. This is what a cast, man. When I when you wrote this down, I was like, is this a spinoff for the guy from Die Hard? What is this?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about it. When I saw Henry Cavill was involved, I was like, okay. And I didn't even see this other stuff originally when I looked at it. So yeah, what a cast, man. I'm very excited to see this.
So yeah, I like the director. I like, you know, this is a great ensemble here. I want to see a little bit more, maybe get some early reviews on it. I'm not sure we put this in. Mark this down. I don't know how you feel. Maybe we can. Maybe we come back to it a little bit.
I think it's a
tentative.
I think we should, yeah, like star it off in the calendar as like a, you know, we'll see. It doesn't have to be a guarantee. Because who knows? Because this happened to us last year where we kind of were starting off heavy and then we lightened up a little bit as we got closer to the summer. And obviously I had all the wedding stuff and you were all going to all that stuff too. So
yeah,
it can screw some things up. But well, yeah, we'll see. Like it's a tentative.
But one movie that we're definitely going to see, for better or for worse, is Madame Web, coming out February 14th. This is directed by S.J. Clarkson, starring Dakota Johnson, Sydney Sweeney, Celeste O'Connor, Isabella Merced, Emma Roberts, and Adam Scott, among others. Cassandra Webb is a New York City paramedic who starts to show signs of clairvoyance. Forced to confront revelations about her past, she must protect three young women from a mysterious adversary who wants them dead. We, of course, got the trailer for this. That has gotten mixed reviews, to put it lightly, I think. Mm-hmm. Most people, I think, have compared this to a CW show, which I feel like is accurate.
Man, I don't know. I have no expectations for this. And this is... Oh, I'm sorry. I do not have positive expectations for this. And I'm wondering if I should bring like a notebook to the theater with me just to jot down everything that...
Oh, and you still may not miss much. That might be actually appropriate. We may not have to be glued to the screen for this.
It's not going to be that bad. I don't want to miss the really bad stuff. I think this is going to be worse than Morbius.
Okay. So yeah, my mind was also running to Morbius as well, which got me thinking like after 2024, after this year is over, we should do a rewatch of the Sony Spider-Verse.
Oh boy.
And all those movies, or have like a power ranking of all the Sony-verse movies. Cause we're getting three potentially here this year.
Yeah. Actually, you know, on that note, so obviously we're putting this in. So that's coming out on the 14th. So when would the...
Oh yeah. So that's kind of coming out.
Oh, is that,
we could do that on the 26th, the week after True Detective. Cause I think,
okay,
I would rather talk True Detective. I agree. And that has the potential to be more peaked of our interest than coming into like potentially shit all over Madam Web. You know what I mean?
100% I agree. And also we got the rest of the DSG who I think some of them are going to be covering both of those. So hopefully we can provide you guys a good mix right away.
Yeah. Maybe we get a little flip flop there. We're doing True Detective. They're doing Madam Web. Okay.
Yeah. But we'll see. We don't plan that stuff out with them. So who knows?
That's true.
On that note, Wes, I do think that's a really good idea to jot down of the like a Sony rewatch or Sony rankings, however we want to do it. And I can't help but wonder, too, now that I look at that calendar, it's just like as a tentative option, you know, maybe at the end of January, a DCEU kind of in memoriam ranking.
Sure. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. Do we have that opening there at the 29th? Yes. Yeah.
The end of the month. So, you know, we can see if other stuff pops up on us and we can flex that around. But I think doing it in January or early February would really be ideal for us.
I like that. I like that a lot there. Absolutely here. Okay. So next, did I put this in here? Did you put this in here? Avatar, The Last Airbender. That's coming out February 22nd on Netflix.
I did that. And I'm very curious where you stand on this. So I didn't watch, I watched some of the Avatar show as a kid and I felt like I was like aging out of Nickelodeon at that time. Mm-hmm, and I was starting to get more, I was more Cartoon Network, Adult Swim type stuff. But just a quick synopsis on this, a live action adaptation of the beloved Nickelodeon animated series, Avatar, The Last Airbender, follows Aang, the young Avatar, as he learns to master the four elements, water, earth, fire, and air, to restore balance to a world threatened by the terrifying Fire Nation. So this is a show. It is on Netflix. It drops on February 22nd. I just want to note it because I think because I'm probably going to check this out. But I'm curious if you have a feeling either way.
So, yeah, I never watched the cartoon. I was familiar with it. But like you, if you were aging out of Nickelodeon by that point, I was aged out. Right. Yes. So but I did watch the M. Night Shyamalan Razzie nominated Razzie winner, The Last Airbender, live action movie. And I actually didn't think it was that bad. Again, I had no expectations of the movie coming or of the content kind of coming into it. So I had no backstory. I thought it was a compelling backstory. The kid actors, it's always tough, right? I think people were expecting this to be like a major franchise a la Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And just never happened. I think it's a very intriguing story. What hurts this for me is the same thing that hurts Percy Jackson and the Olympians. That's been getting a lot of praise on Disney Plus recently. But it's a show. I liked both movies that came out for Percy Jackson. I thought those were enjoyable, fun watches. But the show feels like it's too much of a commitment for me at this point.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's what I feel like with The Last Airbender. I feel like it could be good. But I'd also, I don't know. Maybe we wait on this. Maybe this comes out. Maybe we wait till like mid-March or something. If you're a couple episodes in, you're like, this is good. We gotta do it.
Yeah.
Then I'm on board with it.
All right. Yeah, I'll let you know because even as I bring it up, it's like I don't think this is going to be episode worthy for us, but we'll see. So cool. We can table that as like a thing that maybe if we'll see where things are. And this next one, too, is just something to note as we're going through the year. If you did watch The Walking Dead, I would say we have to like put this on our radar. But The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. This is a show that's going to follow Michonne and Rick Grimes. Of course, Rick Grimes was, he's been off the show for a while, which just ended. So I am very excited to check out this spinoff. But for us, you know, you never watched The Walking Dead, and it's such a massive undertaking.
It is. At this point, I'm going to have to bow out. I'm going to have to walk away from The Walking Dead. But I appreciate you keeping going with it. And Danai Gurira, she is from the MCU, right? She is one of the women security guards.
Yes. She's the lead one. What? I can't remember.
Okoye? Is it Okoye?
Okoye.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Okoye. Yes.
I wasn't sure if it was that one or the second in command whose name I'm blanking on there. But yeah.
No, but you're right. It's quiet. Yeah. So that leaves us. So we're doing pretty good going through February. We only got one blank day right there. And it's right before Valentine's Day. So who knows? Maybe we do a special there.
There we go. Okay. I like that as well. Maybe we can do some rom-coms, original versus sequel, some heartbreakers.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But nevertheless, in March, maybe one of the most anticipated movies of the year. I like your question here in regards to that. Dune Part 2, that comes out March 1st. This is directed by Denis Villeneuve. I think I said that right. Starring Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Skellen Skarsgård. Also the guy from who played Elvis. I forget his name, but he's also in there as well. But Apollo Treaties unites with Chani and the Freemen while seeking revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family, facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the universe. He must prevent a terrible future only he can foresee.
Yeah.
Now, I think a lot of people were maybe this is too strong, but we're down on the first Dune. They said it wasn't really a movie as much as it was enjoyable. It was all just building action. It was all rising action. There wasn't a whole lot there. I really enjoyed it. It was a little long. I hope this is the payoff for it, that we get more action, more continuation of the story, less setup and building, and more following through.
That's really interesting that people felt that way.
I think everyone loved it, but I think that was the main critique.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I worded that poorly.
That's fair. I'm very excited for it as well. I never read Dune. But I am curious. Like I'm very excited after seeing that first one. It was such a wild experience, but I can't help but wonder when we look at the movies that are coming out next year, that has to, it's got to be between this and Deadpool for most anticipated movie of the year. And I'm curious where you stand between the two.
So I think for me personally, it's Deadpool 3. Very excited for that. I think for this show, it's Deadpool 3.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
Just maybe overall, I think Dune Part 2 maybe appeals to a wider audience.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some people are just like anti-comic book movie and just like, all right, it's not for me.
Sure.
But Dune Part 2 has like the science fiction. It has like an epic odyssey type feel to it. So I think that's maybe reaches a broader audience.
I tend to agree. I think you actually said it perfectly. Yeah. But for us, it's definitely Deadpool 3 for sure.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Here. Now this one I like, and I like the parentheses that you put around in here.
Yeah.
So you take this one. Let me update the calendar.
Yeah, so a little bit later on in the month of March, on the 21st, we're going to be getting on Prime Video Roadhouse, which is, you may remember from Patrick Swayze days. It was his movie with Sam Elliott, who I don't know why I always blank on his name, but he's Wade Garrett in this movie. But I like him as an actor, man. Like he's obviously in, I know the not necessarily beloved Nick Cage Ghost Rider, but he's in so much.
Sure.
Else too. And I every time he's on screen, man, like I'm locked in. But
A Star Is Born, memorably, he's great in A Star Is Born.
The original Star Is Born?
No, the remake, the Bradley Cooper remake.
Was he? Oh wow,
he's the brother. He's the brother. Bradley Cooper's older brother.
Yep, I actually forgot about that. Yeah,
great scene. There's where they're in the truck together and they're having like a heart to heart moment.
Yeah, he's. I mean, man, and he's got one of the greatest voices of all time. Of course, he's the other Ron in Parks and Rec too.
Mm-hmm. But that's right. Yeah, yeah.
He's now in 1983, Tombstone, Big Lebowski, all this shit. So, anyways, I'm talking too much about Sam Elliott when this movie's all about Jake Gyllenhaal. And a quick little synopsis on this: an ex-UFC middleweight fighter ends up working at a rowdy bar in the Florida Keys, where things are not as they seem. Rated R for violence throughout, pervasive language and some nudity. I'm Ron Burgundy. But yeah, I actually rewatched this and introduced the original to Lauren in this past calendar year.
I have not seen it.
Really?
No, I have not.
Oh, I really like it. So I don't know where you can watch the original. I would imagine
it's got to be somewhere. At the very least, it's got to. I'm sure ahead of this movie, they'll put it on Prime.
Yeah. So it's a lot. I really enjoyed it. And, I think we should do an original versus reboot if this is halfway decent.
I love it. I think regardless we do it because I think that's interesting. I'm a big Jake Gyllenhaal fan. I think he always does a good job.
Agreed.
And what caught me by surprise here is Lucas Gage, who I kept thinking was Luke Cage. But Lucas Gage, very cool name.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is directed by Doug Liman. Like you said, Gyllenhaal, Lucas Gage, Daniela Melchior, and Darren Barnett are some of the other cast members of this. But, yeah, I'm excited to see this. And I'm with you. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal, when I think of, like, the best actors of our lifetime, of our generation, I should say, and I know they're probably a little bit older than us, but Gyllenhaal and Bale are two guys I tend to think of.
I agree. And Bale gets the flowers. I don't think Gyllenhaal gets the flowers as much.
No.
And he deserves him. I agree.
The big one for me was probably when I first thought that was probably when I watched Nightcrawler.
Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude, it's creepy. That's such a creepy movie. He does a great job with that. Yeah.
He really does. But yeah, so that's coming out on the 21st. So we got some flexibility if other stuff gets in our way, but that'll be on Prime.
There's another movie. I'm going to blank on the name here, but let me see if I can get the synopsis right. With Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's like, he finds out that there's someone who looks exactly like him, and it's like a twin, and they swap lives for a little bit, and like one's like kind of like a
I don't know what that is.
I want to say that he's like maybe a stunt double or something like that, kind of like a macho machismo like position, and the other one's just like a desk jockey. You know, he's kind of like downtrodden on his life, and they switch around, and it's like all this like insanity kind of ensues. I think it might have been on Netflix, but I wish I could give you more than that. I forget what the name was.
You go ahead and look it up for a second, because I can't. I don't know that one at all. So first of all, Nightcrawler, and then it's, I believe, Prisoners. That is the name of the movie that he was in with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And the original Rodian. I feel so bad every time I forget his fucking name. He deserves better than that. But that was a powerful movie, and he did a really good job there. And then another one that like I watched, didn't love, was the one where he was like he was taking phone calls for I believe it was for ambulances. Like suspenseful, but it was like all just it's just him taking it was I think it was ambulances or police.
This is kind of new. This is kind of a new movie, right?
Yeah, I don't know the name of it, but it was like it was kind of disappointing. I didn't think I didn't care for it as much. It just felt like it was odd. But yeah. Anyways, did you find the one you were looking for?
Yeah, it's a 2013 film called Enemy. So the synopsis is a man seeks out his exact lookalike after spotting him in a movie.
Okay. You know, and what was?
And this is a Denis Villeneuve movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There we go. So yeah. Oh, so Terrence I mean, Howard. even adding to that.
Yeah, and then there's the by the way, Terrence Howard, who I was thinking of. I just so bad, but the other one too that I for some reason saw on social media recently was the one where him and Tobey Maguire are brothers, and I think Natalie Portman is like Tobey Maguire's was his wife, but then he was in the military, and then they thought he passed away, and then it's like a whole like crazy family dynamic. I haven't seen that one in a long time. I forget the name of that movie. But anyways, we're getting down this.
Yeah, Jake, we're going down the rabbit hole there. It's easy to get down there. We're big fans of Jake Gyllenhaal here. We're pro Gyllenhaal podcast. That's for sure. Stamp that.
Yeah.
Next up is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. This comes out March 29th. This is on the fence for me here, but this is one of the more bigger IPs that are coming out in the year. Directed by Gil Keenan, starring Carrie Coon, Paul Rudd, Nakana Grace, Finn Wolfhard, still one of the best names going in the business. Kumail Nanjiani and Patton Oswalt. The Spengler family returns to the iconic New York City firehouse where the original Ghostbusters have taken ghostbusting to the next level. When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must unite to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. So this is reuniting the original Ghostbusters cast, or at least some of them, with this new cast here. The first one wasn't bad, but I'm not eager to hop back on that train necessarily. I'm open to it, but I don't think this is a must review.
I'm going to go no on this one.
Okay.
If you change your mind later, cool, but I didn't even see the other one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the first one's not bad. It's just not great either.
Yeah, I just think like when we talk about like reboots and whatnot, it's just like sometimes like there are some I'm all about, and then there are others just like, okay, it's not really doing anything for me.
Yeah, exactly here. And this feels like a little bit of member berries there with the old cast going back to the old setting, all that stuff. So that feels like they're kind of baiting you in. But moving forward to April, Godzilla and Kong, The New Empire, April 12th. This is directed by Adam Wingard, starring Dan Stevens, Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Kaylee Hodel, and Fala Chen. Godzilla and the Almighty Kong face a colossal threat hidden deep within the planet. Hello, Hollow Earth. Challenging the very existence and the survival of the human race. I'm all in on this. This is a must for me.
Have you seen the other Godzilla movie that people are raving about?
Not the Japanese one, which apparently I think that just hit like the highest profited Japanese film ever.
Wow. Yeah, everybody's raving about it. I do want to see it. I'm not like, you know, just again, holidays and everything. Haven't had a chance to go see it, and it wasn't on my radar until like that time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Yeah, I mean, so do you want to do an episode on Godzilla? Godzilla.
I would love this. I think this is a fun, just kind of like popcorn action movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then mark it down. So that's coming out on April 12th. So, okay, so what is
April 15th? Godzilla and Kong.
Cool.
There we go. Exit survey. Yep. All right. So we're in there. We're going deep into April here. Rebel Moon 2, The Scar Giver, that comes out April 19th. Again, maybe we wait a little bit on that, kind of see how, if there's another extended Snyder cut or whatever, but that's definitely on our radar.
Yeah.
And if we like the first one. You know, I think we kind of leave that open as well.
Yes, so. if the first one's like as bad as everybody's saying it is, then we can do one time, we could rip it and then leave it alone.
Yeah. Next up though, April 26th, my wife's birthday, Civil War. So this has gotten a lot of social media traction with this trailer. This is directed by Alex Garland, starring Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, Kaylee Spaney, Jesse Plemons, and Nick Offerman. In the near future, a team of journalists travel across the United States during a rapidly escalating civil war that has engulfed the entire nation. Struggling to survive during a near future civil war where the government becomes a dystopian dictatorship and partisan extremist militias regularly commit political violence. This feels like a little too close to home. It feels like it's a kind of like fear porn, I think is the term I'm looking for.
It feels like a heavy, I don't think that's far off. It feels like a very heavy commentary, like heavy-handed commentary. I'm going to see this for sure. This feels like it's like very close to like what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially like now, again, not to get too political here, but when you have certain states leaving Trump off the ballot, right? So that feels like this is like the first domino to fall in what would eventually play out in civil war.
And
all that kind of stuff. And it's just gets crazy. So it feels, again, in the near future, we got an election year coming up this year. At that time, it'll be, I don't know, 6 months away at that point? Maybe roughly it's in November. Something like that, right? Yeah. Either way, there'll be deep into election season. However, I do love Jesse Plemons. I do love Nick Offerman. A24, who's producing this movie, does great stuff. So we'll see how it goes. But again, I'm like, I do want to see this.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to like talking about it, like this is definitely going to be a hot button one for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
but definitely one
that on there that's penciled in for April 29th.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing this. And I'm very curious. Like most times I don't care about the like reviews at large. Like I know we talk about it, but it's not like I'm curious because of how, I'm just curious who's going to show up when it comes to reviews. Like, where's it going to go?
Right, because it kind of inherently puts you on a side, right? It kind of it literally draws a line down there and be like, which side are you kind of coming from here? And that kind of red versus blue type of thing. Mm-hmm. The trailer I thought was really good, I think the big takeaway that I was seeing online was Jesse Plemons in the red glasses, which I think became sold out on Amazon. He had these like red heart glasses and he's holding an assault rifle strapped and he's like interrogating who I imagine are the journalists that they're talking about in the synopsis. And he's like, well, which kind of American are you? Mm. And that's like, that seems to be the question there, but
he is such a good actor. He really is. Yeah.
He's good too.
Kind of terrifying how good he is.
It is. Cause he's like, kind of like eerily still through like all the time,
Yeah,
it's just like even in like his comedic roles, it's like kind of off-putting.
Yeah, and it's like I know we've seen him in like leading stuff, like the show. I forget the name of that show that he did with Breaking Elizabeth Bad? Olsen. No, Elizabeth Olsen.
They both were great in that.
Yeah, and I know she was the straw that stirs a drink in that. But I feel like he's never like that was like maybe the biggest, most like leading role I've seen him in, but he's like, when we talk about Gyllenhaal and in Bale as like leading, like great actors, like they're great actors, I think, especially from like a leading role. But like, we talk about people who play like secondary roles, Plemons is right there.
Yeah, absolutely great. Yeah, great, great character actor here.
Yeah.
All right, so we got that in there for sure. Heading into May, we have The Fall Guy. This feels like a good rom-com. This maybe feels like, I know it's got, you know, action kind of blockbuster flavors to it, but this is really a love story here. This is directed by David Leitch, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. That's all you need. Just two A-list actors coming together here. After leaving the business 1 year earlier, battle-scarred stuntman Colt Seavers springs back into action with the star of a big studio movie suddenly disappears. As the mystery surrounding the missing actor deepens, Colt soon finds himself ensnared in a sinister plot that pushes him to the edge of a fall more dangerous than any stunt. This seems like, again, a fun action movie. I'm not necessarily crazy about it, but this could be fun. I love Ryan Gosling. I love Emily Blunt. They seem like they could have good chemistry together. And you get a little action movie too. I don't know what, if you have any thoughts about this.
I might see it. Like if you want to do an episode on it, then I definitely will. But like, I'm kind of like, okay, maybe if the missus wants to see it, we'll definitely go see it. But
yeah, I think maybe this isn't a movie theater movie. But I think this is definitely like a nice, like date night on the couch. Rent a pizza, order a pizza, not rent a pizza, but order a pizza and watch the movie, you know? So we'll put it on the radar tentatively and maybe we come back to it.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing so much at rent a pizza. I can't help myself. But then after that, later on in the month, we do have a movie that I think we will want to talk about on here in some capacity. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga that's coming out on May 24th, directed by George Miller, of course, starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth, and then we got Tom Burke, Nathan Jones, and Angus Sampson. I'm very much looking forward to this. And Mad Max is one that I've seen the Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron movie, but I don't know much about Mad Max outside of that. And it took me a long time to see that. I was way behind everybody on that one. So Anya Taylor-Joy, man, like she kicks ass. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and we talked about this when the trailer comes out. I think the first movie was really good visually. It wasn't my favorite movie. I think, again, we talked about this kind of being like everyone's favorite movie of the decade. That wasn't right there for me. Mm-hmm. But I think this could be a good movie. Again, I like Chris Hemsworth. I like Anya Taylor-Joy. And this is a good IP here. You know, I think this is still garners some tension. It still kind of grabs me by my plums. However, if we were forced to pick between one of the two here, I think we have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes coming out May 24th, and that might be something that I might be more interested in. This is directed by Wes Ball. That's no reason why I'm interested in it, by the way.
Okay.
Not because we share the same name. Starring Owen Teague, Freya Allen, Peter Macon, Eckard Darville, and Kevin Durant. Oh. Not the future Hall of Famer, Kevin Durant. But this is many years after the reign of Caesar. A young ape goes on the journey that will lead him to question everything he's been taught about the past and make choices that will define a future for apes and humans alike.
Okay.
I love this whole reboot of a series here. I think that they've been great. We'll see where this goes here. Again, this looks like it's so far in the future that it may not have too much of a connection really to the previous ones. So I think that's fine. I think it's cool for a new story, but I always love these movies.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't realize these were on the same date. I'm open to going in either direction. Cause I agree. I'm very excited to see both of these movies. I didn't realize that this was so far in the future. So that'll make it easier where you don't have to do rewatches beforehand and such.
Well, so we do have an opening that first week of June. So maybe we could do a back-to-back there.
Yeah, that would work. That would work really well.
Okay. All right, cool. Here. So we'll put that in.
And then in June, things kick off with Ballerina on June 7th. That's directed by Len Wiseman, starring Ana de Armas, Keanu Reeves, Ian McShane, Lance Riddick, Norman Reedus, Angelica Houston, and Gabrielle Byrne, taking place between the events of John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum, in Chapter 4, ballerina assassin Rooney hunts the murderers of her family. I mean, I feel like this is something we're going to have to do on the show probably, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think part of me feels like they're trying to draw blood from the stone with this John Wick series continuing from it.
Fair.
Albeit, we just got through a couple other IP properties that I was excited about. So maybe that's a little contradictory, but I feel like we've gotten so many John Wick movies since the first one came out. I think they've done a good job of churning everything out there. We'll see what this is. Again, I think Ana de Armas is very sexy here. They got, and everyone else comes back from the original John Wicks too there in some shape or form, right?
I love the addition of Norman Reedus.
That too, like, yes. He looks like he would play a great assassin. I'm assuming that's what he's going to be.
Yeah, and he's going to bring he can bring a different style than definitely a very different style from Ana de Armas, probably more similar to Keanu just based on age and whatnot and mobility. But I don't know. I am interested in this one because those are some interesting names seeing thrown in the mix in Keanu Reeves universe.
Awesome. Now, this one I would have to do a little bit of catching up for because they really screwed this one up. Bad Boys 4, not to be confused with the third version of this series, which was Bad Boys for Life. So that was, again, missed opportunity. But this one comes out June 14th. Huh. This is directed by Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. There's nothing, there's no synopsis on this yet. There's no real plot leaks or anything else. So maybe this gets pushed back. I would have to see Bad Boys for Life. I don't remember hearing positive things about it to continue it, but I love the first two of these. And arguably the second better than the first.
Okay. If you want to, then we can do something with it, but I'm okay if we don't.
No, I'm okay with putting this on ice. And again, maybe we get a trailer, maybe it blows us away and then we can readjust there. But I think at this moment, I'm okay with letting this series die and just remembering the first two as being canon and everything else doesn't matter. We have A Quiet Place Day One. I have a March 8th release.
I was just about to fix it because I screwed that up. Yeah, that's my fault. That's June 28th, so the end of the month. So this will bleed into July, where we do have a little bit of a pause. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of fits well for us. Directed by Michael Saranowski, starring Lupita Nyong'o, Joseph Quinn, Alex Wolff, Juman Hansu, and Dennis O'Hare. A woman fights to survive during an alien invasion in New York City. Very simple synopsis. We all know A Quiet Place. We know the second one had Emily Blunt and Cillian Murphy in it after the passing of John.
I have to catch up. Yeah, I've only seen the first one. Yeah.
Okay. I really, really enjoyed the second one. I don't know. I would assume it did well in reviews, but I really enjoyed that. And I was nervous when I saw this because it's like, okay, we're doing more with Krasinski's like story. Is he involved or is he has like they kind of mm-hmm. taken over as the decision makers, whatever, but he's one of the writers on this as well. So as long as he's involved, I'm open to giving this a chance because he's done such a good job so far.
All right here. Yeah. I'm on board. We'll pencil it in. We got it in there. Yeah. And that sounds good. Like you said, July, June, it gets a little bit light there. So it's right around the holiday or, you know, the 4th of July holiday. So,
and the beauty of it too, you don't have to see the other one to watch this one. So, you know, you don't have to go and watch it, but I'm curious. Okay. This is a prequel. This is like day one. It's the fucking
title. In the title. Yeah. Gotcha. Wow. Okay. Moving forward to July, we have Twisters, July 19th. This is not a reboot, not a sequel of the mid-90s movie Twister. So now there's just going to be two tornadoes. Directed by Lee Isaac Chung, this is starring Daisy Edgar Jones, Glenn Powell, Anthony Ramos, Brandon Piera, Maura Tierney. This is an update to the 1996 film Twister, which centered on a pair of storm chasers who risked their lives in an attempt to test an experimental weather alert system. I'm pretty high on Glenn Powell and power rankings. He seems like he's got that star factor for him. I also think he would make a great Cyclops, but that's neither here nor there.
I agree with that one.
But I love Twister. I'm pretty sure I bought this for a friend for his birthday party, the VHS. That was a birthday gift. Distinctly remember picking it out. It's a great movie. I hold it in high esteem. Helen Hunt, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Bill Pullman. I think it's Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton, one or the other there. Either way, hold that in high esteem. I almost don't want him to touch it, but this is a great premise. If they can update it with some cool CGI, I might be a maybe.
Okay. Then let's do you want to consider it as
We'll pencil it in.
I would say a pencil in an original versus reboot or update.
Oh, whatever the I like that. I like that, actually. And that could send me home.
Okay.
All right, I might be rounding second base at that point.
All right, so there we go. We got that penciled in. Okay, nice. And then this July is a quiet month. In actually, the summer looks like it's pretty quiet at this stage. Obviously, we got Deadpool 3 that's planned to come out on July 26th. Obviously, this is a must episode for us. Mm-hmm. So we don't even need to waste any time on it. Obviously, we're very excited. Hopefully, we don't get too many more leaks, but I don't mind them when Ryan Reynolds puts them out there at least.
Absolutely. And what I found interesting, this was the generic synopsis here. I found it interesting that they lead with Wolverine. They say Wolverine is recovering from his injuries when he crosses paths with the loudmouth Deadpool. They team up to defeat a common enemy.
It's probably just because Deadpool's in the title, so it's like, let's make sure everybody knows.
Oh yeah, but they want to make sure the SEO Wolverine's placed very, right at the front there, so everyone sees it there. So that's
probably what it is.
Good they're call. Trying to reel you in there. And I'm reeled. I'm hook, line, and sinker on this movie. Again, not much to say here, other than I agree. We agree for once. I don't want the leaks on this. I want to be surprised. I want to enjoy it. So,
and I'm wondering too. Like now, we're worried about the exit survey when we do it, our review. But I'm sure with August only having one other movie that's on our radar right now that's coming out, I wouldn't be stunned if we did something else with this throughout the month of August.
I like that as well. Yeah, maybe where it goes from here, because this should be a big tent pole for the MCU that we're hoping maybe. Maybe like a best in series, maybe do a rankings of the three Deadpool sort of thing. You know, I
think people liked it cool. People liked it when we did the original versus sequel.
That's true. That is our highest rated episode. That's a good point. So maybe we do an original or a sequel versus threequel.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll think like that.
We're gonna have to. You know what? All these friggin' studios are drawing blood from a stone. Why can't we?
I think we should take note. Follow note there. Follow suit. Mm-hmm. Yep. In August, we got our second Sony Spider-Verse movie, Kraven the Hunter, coming out August 30th. So a little bit of time off between that and Deadpool. Directed by J.C. Chandler, starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Russian immigrant Sergei Kravinov sets out on a mission to prove himself as the greatest hunter in the world. We already got the trailer for this. We also got an R-rated trailer for this. I'm not sure how true to Kraven's story in the comics this is going to be. Or how much connection this has to Spider-Man and the greater Spider-Verse as a whole. But I'm cautiously optimistic about this movie.
So that was a question I was going to have for you because I couldn't remember where you stood on it, whether you think that this is going to be better, this or Madam Web is going to be better. Mm-hmm. I would think it's heavy, heavy favorite that Kraven ends up being better than Madam Web. I don't think it's going
to
be even close.
Yeah, there's the violent aspect, which I think kind of gives it a leg up, I think, in regards to us. I think there's that there. Whether how far they go to that, or if we just saw all the bloody stuff in the trailers and it's not much more, that kind of remains to be seen. But I think right now I would be more interested in Kraven than Madam Web.
Yes, 100%. And it also feels like less of a reach for the character. Like both of these characters, like them getting their own movie where they're the main character, like that's a little surprising. Like Kraven being the lead villain in a movie isn't surprising, but he's kind of like the anti-hero in this. So it's strange, but I'm interested. It does. The trailer did look good.
It did. It sure did.
We'll be talking about it either way.
We just talked about the original of this version, this movie, back during spooky season here. I'm talking about Beetlejuice 2. This comes out September 6th. This is directed by Tim Burton, starring Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, Jenna Ortega, who is going to be playing Lydia Dietz's daughter, Justin Theroux, and Willem Dafoe, who is supposed to be some sort of a detective, Willem Dafoe, that is. And then Monica Bellucci is also there as well. Maybe that's Monica, and I just forgot the A. But either
way.
Maybe, Beetlejuice 2, September 6th. This is like 25, 30 years in the making. Pretty exciting to see Michael Keaton come back in that Beetlejuice form. I had seen that the original idea for a sequel, like way back, like shortly after the original came out, was Beetlejuice Goes to Hawaii or something, some sort of like beach vacation type theme, and that just never got taken, got lifted off the ground there. I don't think this is going to be the case. There's no synopsis details for this yet.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'm interested in, obviously interested in it anyways. whether or not we do just a regular exit survey or original versus sequel or both, I'm open to all ideas there. But adding Jenna Ortega and Willem Dafoe to this, I mean, if this isn't a smash hit, like, I'm not talking box office hit. I'm just talking like we all, like, fans and critics, or at least fans enjoy this, I'll be stunned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love Justin Theroux as well. If you've seen The Leftovers, he was great on that. He's been on a bunch of stuff too. He's a good character actor.
Oh,
good bit player in a lot of movies. Also in September is Transformers 1, which is going to be confusing to the first Transformers movie.
I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'm more in on Transformers than I've ever been in my life since Beast Wars as a kid, because that was my introduction, because the new comic is over. Skybound has taken over, which is a part of Image. But they've taken over Transformers. They've done a really good job. Daniel Warren Johnson is the writer and artist on that. So I've really enjoyed that. So I'm open to giving this a chance. But at the same time, I'm like, so it's going to explore the origin story of Cybertron and the relationship between Optimus and Megatron. I'm open to this. I'm being an episode. I'm going to want to watch it at some point. But where do you stand?
Well, the animated film kind of gets me a little bit. I wish it was live action and CGI. That was my initial impression. That when I saw the synopsis there, I was like, that kind of puts me in a little bit of pause. But Scarlett Johansson, Chris Hemsworth, Brian Tyree Henry, John Hamm, Lawrence Fishburne, Keegan-Michael Key. Again, that's a loaded cast, even if that is voiceover work. I'll be interested to see what's going on there. Again, that kind of pulling on my heartstrings of my childhood there. Because I was a big Transformers guy, but I've gotten away from the movie series. So this seems like it won't really explore any of the Wahlberg stuff.
Sure.
Does that feel right? I think that'd be okay.
It seems like having this be animated, while it's, I can understand why it'd be a turnoff for some people, it does feel smart because of what you do with these characters.
You could do so much more. Yeah, no, you're right.
And it's a great way to just like, okay, we're going to start everything over here and it'll be animated moving forward. And I think where we've seen it with TMNT and then with Spider-Verse before that, I think it makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, so I think maybe we put this as a tentative episode idea, and then we'll see when we get a trailer.
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess when it said animated to me, I wasn't thinking like TMNT Spider-Verse animated, and you just put me in that frame of mind like, wow, that could be really cool. So let's hammer it home.
Okay, cool. But obviously we can change things. But it'd be weird if it was like, obviously Invincible's art style like very much fits for the show. But if you went and did that with Transformers on a big screen level, that would feel odd.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah. No, we're on the same page there. In October, we only got one release. So that leaves open a lot for spooky season, hashtag spooky season there. So that's always nice. But this is great. And this is unlike Deadpool 3, Joker 2 Folie à Deux comes out October 4th. There's like been nothing about this movie. And I think people are pretty anticipated, pretty excited for this. It's directed by Todd Phillips, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Lady Gaga, Brendan Gleeson, Zazie Beetz, Catherine Keener, Jacob Laughlin. And there's no synopsis for this. And we've only gotten a few stills, maybe a few set photos that have been leaked out there, but nothing really about what this movie is and whether it's going to continue on and kind of mess with that viewer about whether this is real life or is this just in the crazy mind of Arthur Blank? What's his name? Not Arthur Blank. It's the owner of the Falcons, but Arthur something, right? Yeah.
I actually forget what his name is in this universe. But yeah, I'm excited for it. Like, this is, I mean,
it Arthur was surprising. Fleck.
It is. But Joaquin Phoenix, like, this is, and you had Lady Gaga in the mix. I'm excited. I am.
Yeah, there's a musical element in there. Lady Gaga does great. She's, of course, going to be Harley Quinn. She's got eerie vibes to her anyway. I think that's a perfect kind of casting for it, you know. Yeah. So I like that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hammer that home. October 4th here. What do we got? Let me
yeah, put that no brainer right episode right for us. And then we got another comic book movie that comes out in November, like you said, a light October. On November 8th, we got Venom 3 is scheduled to come out. Kelly Marcel is directing it. Of course, we got Tom Hardy, and then Juno Temple in Chitwell Edge of Four at GO4 are also alongside in the cast.
Mordo. That's how you might recognize
him. Mordo. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Chitwell is a pretty distinct name. Like, I know him from somewhere. I just can't. I don't know with the face. Anyways. So yeah. Awesome. Okay.
I would like to see what happens. The last time we saw Tom Hardy and Venom in this was him being sent into the MCU verse right quickly and then getting taken away there. So I would like to see what happens with that, if that's a string that they continue to pull on, or if they go anywhere with that, or if this is just going to kind of stay in its own universe. I haven't been huge on these movies, but I think what everyone can agree on is, like, Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock, that works out very well.
Okay, so yes, Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock works. So you've kind of just like I did with you at Transformers. Like, I didn't. I'm like Chitwell. I had no idea, but I recognize that name. So you're putting Mordo in the Marvel Sony stuff. What the it better be as Mordo, and there better be some interest. Like, that's a really missed opportunity and really odd decision if they do that. And I also wouldn't understand why Chitwell Ejiofor would want to do that. Like, I get money
now,
and stuff.
Now you're getting the wheels spinning here. If it's Mordo from, like, that Multiverse of Madness Mordo, now he's going through time. They have all that 818 stuff. And then you're talking about time travel. I think that's cool. I think that could be really cool. I don't want to get my hopes up now, but that could be fun.
This is one of those things where it's like, it would be really easy for anybody to get their hopes up. Like, it's natural. And we talk about, like, expectations and whatnot, and letting, like, filmmakers tell the stories that they want to tell. But this is something where it's like, why would you have him in the mix if that's what you're going to do? It doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, especially with they've done with Tom Hardy before. Yeah. Like, it makes even less sense if they don't do it.
I agree. No, this should be it. I think we figured it out. And if it's not that, then Sony should call us and we'll get it together.
The fact that nobody
make it happen.
Like, it's been in the. I just double checked it. It's been out since May. How? I don't know. Like, how the fuck is that, like, not a thing that people talk about more?
That's really good. That's interesting. I'm here for it. We cracked the case. That's why you come to the CMM podcast here,
which
folks.
Makes me think it's not gonna
It's not gonna be that. Yeah, Gladiator 2, that comes out November 22nd. This is directed by Ridley Scott, starring Paul Mescal, Denzel Washington, Connie Nelson, Jijmon Hansu, Joseph Quinn, and Derek Jacobi. Following Lucius, the son of Maximus's loves Lucia, after Maximus's death. So there's not a huge, that's actually kind of like a poorly worded synopsis.
Yes.
But anyway, so not a lot there, but again, Gladiator, I mean, are you not entertained? There's so much greatness through this movie here. Obviously a lot of that was Russell Crowe. So we'll see. Ridley Scott's a good director. I haven't seen Napoleon. I've heard mixed things about Napoleon, but I still want to see that. Mm-hmm. But if he can make something out of this, then I'm here for it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I feel like we should do a Gladiator rewatch, because why not take advantage of the SEO at that time? But other than that, sure. I was surprised when this got announced, but I'll probably see it. If we want to do an episode, then
I was too. Like, did we need this movie? You know, right. That's something that we can ask ourselves often. It's like, we don't need it. I don't think even the people really wanted it, but I think people will consume it nonetheless.
Yeah. And also Jimon Hansu, who's you guys may remember from, the most recent one I can think of is
he's Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the wizard in Shazam.
That's what I was going to say.
He's that guy. Yeah.
But the wizard in Shazam. But yes, he's in Guardians as well in a small role. And then, like, the Marvels too. I mean, Captain Marvel. But I remember seeing he was, like, someone who's not, like, he talked about, like how he gets paid and stuff like that. This man is in fucking everything over the past few years. I hope he's cashing in finally.
Yeah, he's a worker. He's storing away those all those checks for a rainy day.
I hope he's getting some. Like, he's finally getting paid more, because he made it sound like at one point that he really wasn't. It's like he's got. I like his presence on screen, and I know he's always, like, a smaller role, but still. Anyways,
I agree. In December too. This is interesting. I hadn't heard anything about this. This is a complete surprise to me. The Lord of the Rings, The War of
the Rohirrim. Yeah.
December 13th, this is coming out. It's directed by Kenji Kamiyama, starring Brian Cox and Miranda Otto. You have the synopsis here as the untold story behind Helm's Deep, hundreds of years before the fateful war, telling the life and blood-soaked times of its founder, Helm Hammerhand, the King of Rohan.
Yes.
So you're our resident LOTR guy.
Yes.
I know this says it's hundreds of years before the fateful war.
Yes.
Can you kind of put into a timeline The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Rings of Power, and this for me?
If I'm not mistaken, I would say it would be Rings of Power, then the War of the Rohirrim, then The Hobbit. And then actually, it's definitely, I mean, the only question would be Rings of Power and War of the Rohirrim if they're okay. Flip-flop. But no, this is way before The Hobbit. Like this, like you can watch Rings of Power and be fine and not know, because you don't like have you seen Lord of the Rings? I forget if you've
seen it. No, I've seen Lord of the Rings. Okay. I've read The Hobbit. I've watched the first Hobbit.
Okay. So, but you could not have seen any of that and still watch Rings of Power. Maybe there's some stuff you don't get or maybe appreciate. I don't know. But This is a similar kind of deal. You can go and watch this and you'll be fine.
Gotcha.
But yeah, like Helm's Deep is like, you obviously, if you remember from the second film.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am very excited for this. I do think they've done a good job with Rings of Power. I know there's like stuff that was changed, but Tolkien's, there's so much of
Tolkien's. Is there a new season out right now?
Not yet. No, but this it takes a while. And the thing that was so great about Rings of Power for me is the like what Peter Jackson did with the movie, the original movies, more so than The Hobbit. Visually, they were stunning, and for their time,
they hold up. Yeah.
For their time, it was just revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And in the Rings of Power, it feels like. What it feels like, it's like that, but improved for the times.
Okay.
So I really enjoyed that. And to me, that was so important for like just the atmosphere that I talk about that a lot now. But that's huge for Lord of the Rings stories.
Okay. Absolutely. So yeah, I think we could put this down here. This is a movie.
Yeah. I don't think it's on Prime. I think it's even though I think they are like, it's HBO. I think it's Warner Brothers that owns all that. So, okay. But yeah, we'll see what the trailers look like. And if you feel differently, then, feel strongly in the other way, but I would like to do this if we have the room to do it.
Absolutely. Yes. We'll get this on here. And our last entry for the year, a little bit lighter, Sonic the Hedgehog 3. This comes out December 20th. This is directed by Jeff Fowler, starring Ben Schwartz, Idris Elba, James Marsden, Colleen O'Shaughnessy. Again, no synopsis for this at the moment that I could find. But I think I've seen the first one. I don't think I've seen the second one.
I have not seen any of them in full yet, but my nephews and niece love it. And I do like Sonic. And Idris Elba is Knuckles, who is my favorite.
Yeah,
so I got to see these. But, I mean, if we're... You know, I don't know if we're gonna do an episode on this. Do you want to?
I don't know. Maybe we do original versus sequel, Sonic 1, and kind of catch on the or Sonic 2 and catch up on the SEO while that's doing there. I think we could
or best in series
or best in series as well. Yeah, I think so. I think we could work around it, but maybe something.
Okay.
You know, we'll be in the holiday season at that point.
Yep.
So maybe we want to do something like that. But there's only so many holiday movies. So
maybe we'll mark it down as for our own note keeping Sonic related episode. That's going to be coming out then. But yeah, that's I'd say we got a pretty damn good list put together right now. Wow.
Yeah, we got a lot in there, and what looks like to be a pretty busy month of mid February into mid March. Yeah, we got those. True Detective Season 4, Madam Web Survey in theaters, Dune 2 in theaters, and then The Last Airbender. So that's going to be, kind of jam-packed. Then also, this seems about right, late May, early June. That's kind of the start of the movie. Blockbuster season. You have Furiosa, Planet of the Apes, Ballerina, all in theaters there.
Nice. Yeah. And then it looks like August is really good. August and October are where we're probably going to be getting most creative. But
the dog days. Well, October, we got spooky season. So we got that in our back pocket there. But the dog days of summer for sure. And then of course, we'll have Nick's birthday episode, which I believe is also in October. Mm-hmm. And then my birthday episode in August. So that
perfect for some us.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that. And also, we have Invincible that we mentioned, I believe, on air previously, that we got that second half of the season. I don't know when that's coming, but, we may do an episode on that as well.
Yes, and I do have a note in here. There's no release dates currently for The Boys Season 4 or The House of the Dragon Season 2. Those are both expected to come out there Right. And you can guarantee the boys will definitely be on the review.
Yep.
And House of the Dragon will be as well.
Yes, those are absolutely high priorities for us, for sure.
All right, I feel really good about that. Yeah, this is good. We got this hammered out. We're starting off the new year on the right track here. Yeah. Speaking of the track, the train is getting ready to leave the station.
Choo-choo, bitches.
Nick, it's the holidays. It's the New Year's. There's been a lot that's transpired since we last convened for this show. What have you been up to recently?
Obviously, the holidays, you know, for good, bad, all a whole mix always. And then as for watching stuff, though, Wes, the missus had this on her radar for a while, and it piqued my interest when I saw the trailer, but took us a while to get to it. Daisy Jones and the Six, which is on Amazon Prime. She read the book previously. I absolutely love this thing. If you're into like band drama, and this is set in like the 70s, so the music's a little bit more like their rock is a little bit, feels more folksy ish but at the same time I love it. Not my normal speed, but I really loved this show. The drama and the tension, and like there's an interesting twist. So 10 episodes, an hour a pop, but I think from the jump, like what's so interesting is this is a totally fictional story, Wes, but it feels like this is a real band.
Okay, I like that. So have you ever seen That Thing You Do?
Nope.
Oh, that felt like that was a real band. That was they're kind of like a doo-wop. It was a doo-wop's 50s movie with Tom Hanks, and there was a song I think might have charted on the Billboard Top 100.
Really?
But it was all made for the movie and everything like that. So, this is like, are you saying this is like kind of like a documentary or like a mockumentary style show?
It's kind of like a documentary. It's like a mix because you have all these band members getting interviewed throughout the course of the series. But then also we're seeing events happen like as they happened.
Gotcha.
Whereas in the book, it's all done through interviews. So it's like,
and this is a fictional book.
Totally fiction.
Cool. I like that. Yeah, that's very interesting. Cool little creative device.
And then for all our comic book fans out there, people who like comic book stuff that's not just superheroes, because there's a lot of that, Bodies on Netflix, which I know was trending a while back. I was a little late on this one. I still haven't finished it, but I feel very comfortable going into this last few episodes saying that this is a really interesting watch. It starts off quite slow. They're really setting the table, and it makes sense for the nature of the story. And honestly, if they moved too fast, you'd probably lose a lot of people, including myself. Mm-hmm. But the thread is very clear. And as it goes along, it just gets like faster and more intense. And by I get to the end of the sixth episode, and I was like, holy shit. Like this thing went from moving at a very like slow burn pace to just out of fucking control. It requires a little bit of patience. You got to let bodies breathe a little bit. But once you do that, it gets progressively more intense episode to episode. And by the end, it's like, again, I'm not at the very end, but after six episodes, I'm like, this is a totally different show than when it started.
All right. I like that. Another, I might have asked you this before, but again, it's been some time here, so forgive me. The Killer, that's another comic book graphic novel. So I know I saw that. Have you watched that?
I have not. I want to. It's one of those things where I've really I need to be in the
watch everything.
No, but yeah. But there are times, Wes, where I get like, we're not doing it on the show when it's like, it's something I really want to watch, or I do this with stuff I'm reading too. Where it's like, I need to be in the right mindset. I can't be disturbed. None of this shit.
I get it.
I've been that way ever since I saw The Killers. Like, I need things to be absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. And it's stupid, but yeah, it happens sometimes.
It's good. It's a good movie. It just feels like it ends, but it's a good movie. I watched Into the Woods. So one of the things that I got for our daughter, Vivian, was more books to read. So I got these books. They're called like 5-minute fairy tales, and they're I don't know, it's maybe like 50 stories that are all, you know, the Three Little Pigs, Rapunzel, Hansel and Gretel, Beauty and the Beast, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and they're all just shortened stories. So they're great. We've been reading them at bedtime just because all the kids' books like that we have, you know, they just kind of run out at a certain point. They get old. I just get sick of reading them. So these feel like a little bit more you know, adult. They can appeal to me a little bit. I love a good fairy tale. Took fairy tales in literature in college, so that was a fun course to take. But in light of that, I watched one day Into the Woods on Disney Plus. So this came out in like 2013, 2014. It's got, I think, Chris Pine. Who else is in there? There's a bunch of big people. James Corden's in there. Emily Blunt's in there. It's a star-studded cast. Who is, why can't I remember? Meryl Streep's in it.
Oh, wow.
A lot of big-name people. It's kind of a musical, Into the Woods. This is made into the movie version of it. But it's essentially a mishmash of, like, Jack and the Beanstalk, Rapunzel, Cinderella, and maybe one other that I'm forgetting there. But it's all these stories, and they all kind of happen at the same time, kind of like a New Year's Eve or traffic, where like all these events are happening at the same time and they all kind of converge at once, you know? So it's a cool story. It actually holds up for a musical. I'm not a big musical guy. This was good. It was star-studded cast. So
Into the Woods, huh? I might have to check that out. I'm not familiar with that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a fairy tale.
Look at that. Yeah, good fairy tale. Can't knock those. That's for damn sure. And then the holidays have been good.
Yeah. Holidays are great for a first Christmas with a babe. You know, that's all good stuff there. It's all good formative memories there.
Love to hear that. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Good
stuff. Well, that's it. So this is good. So a nice hour, 30-minute podcast to reconvene to start off the new year. They all won't be this long moving forward. But, yeah, we had to catch up. We had a lot to go through. A lot of work to do. So
yeah,
that's going to be our episode review, our selection show, if you will. And then next week at the same bat time, the same bat place, will be What If Season 2 Exit Survey. See you then.